It is 8:16. Oh my gosh, you're listening to The Morning After with Ben and Josh on RGU 98.5, and I don't know what the time is other than how it's time to talk to Tiana Tui Ono. Thank you so much for coming on to the show this morning. In the fringes, I guess we're starting off strong.
Yes, how's it going on this fine morning?
Yeah, kia ora guys. Good to hear from you. Actually, we just come off top of Mount Victangi to kill here and here in Wellington to talk about Matariki. We're up there talking about Matariki. It's going to be a new year next year as well. And, you know, the Greens, we think it'll be it's a good opportunity for us to talk about Matariki in the context of an understanding that actually it's about connecting us to the environment.
Mm.
So we were up there having that conversation. I was up about 5:30 this morning. So, It's been a good day. It was good weather up there and it's nice and crisp.
Mm. Nice, that's awesome.
So, of course, you guys are up there calling for an expansion of the current school curriculum on Matariki so that there's that deeper understanding of how it relates to harvesting food, management of stuff like that. So, how come you guys are pushing this?
Mm. I think it's, Matariki is going to be, next year it's going to be the first time it's going to be a public holiday.
Mm.
And, for me, it's like, it can't be just another excuse to let off a bunch of fireworks,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's an opportunity for us to really think about our place in the environment and actually how we're actually part of the environment. And curriculum is being reviewed at the moment as well. So it's a great time to actually embed ecological sustainability into the curriculum, because that'll be great for our, I reckon it's going to be great for our kids.
Mm.
You know, get them to, you know, I mean, it's the environment, it's science, it's history, it's social, it's all the things.
Mm.
And so, you know, I think it's a good move forward to make sure that's in there, and it'd be great for the kids, get them out into nature, and that's all good.
Yeah, most definitely. It's a really good thing to do. Speaking a little bit more broadly, as this is the first time, well, it's not the first time we've talked to you, but it's the first time we're talking to you for this segment. So since, you know, the election happened last year, sometimes some people tend to be like, well, the election's over, and they kind of stop thinking about politics until the next one shows up. So do you want to give us a quick rundown on maybe what have been some of the highlights for the Green Party and what have been some of the potential lowlights for the Green Party since you guys went into Parliament last year?
It's kind of, I mean, the high point, I mean, it's all a learning curve for me. Mm. I'm on a steep learning curve, how this place functions and dysfunctions, to be honest.
Mm.
So people come up to me and go, hey, what's it like to be in the most diverse Parliament ever? And I'm like, it's the only parliament I've ever been in, so
yeah.
How about normal? It feels normal.
Yeah,
Probably the thing is that when I step outside the bubble and people talk to me. So one of the things that we've been pushing has been about getting, pathways to residencies for overstayers, and just sort of being mindful that it was essential workers that had got us through the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to some folks that had got hold of me said that they'd heard people talking about our call, but on Samoan radio, which was really interesting for me because I don't speak Samoan.
So
knowing that people are talking about the work that we're doing, but in different spheres, I mean, I love that. I'm here for that kind of stuff.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The Green Party has just released a petition aiming to allow community ownership of our bus system. So what are some of the barriers in place at the moment, and why should people care about this?
Mm.
The privatisation of all the things was not a good idea.
You know?
And if we can sort of get public ownership of things and council ownership of things, and then it takes away all the other kind of hassles that we've seen kind of bubbling up there, where you have, in this case, bus services that are just purely for profit.
Mm.
So by having that within the hands of in public ownership, that kind of stuff makes that kind of stuff a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good thing. And, you know, just here in Wellington, we've had the bus drivers go out and strike, forcing, pushing for better wages and so on and so forth. If we own the bus services, it makes it a lot easier to make sure that we are paying bus drivers a living wage or paying them properly.
Mm, yeah, definitely. Speaking of public transport, another thing that's been almost dominating the news cycle, at least from what I've seen over the last week or so, is all the talk about biking and the importance of cycleways.
Mm.
Why are cycleways so important for a city to have? And what is it about biking that the Green Party, you know, really thinks should continue into the future, should be an important thing?
You know, it really adds to the vibrancy of a city. Like, I've lived in cities where biking was a really strong thing.
Mm.
And so cities should be developed for people. They shouldn't be developed for cars. Shouldn't be developed for car parks. And if you get the medium to high density housing thing sorted, so we don't have urban sprawl, then that makes a more closely connected communities.
Mm.
And in order for those communities to be better connected, it's actually better to prioritise active transport, and that gets people outside. That gets, you know, like cycling is good for your individual well-being, but also can be good for community well-being.
Mm.
The thing is, you've got to make space for that.
Mm.
If the spaces are all there just for the cars, well, then that takes away from spaces for other modes of transport and for other ways of being. That's among some of the reasons why we're big into cycling.
Mm. Fantastic.
It's a car-driven world after all.
Yes, unfortunately.
Next week we have James McDowell from the ACT Party coming onto the show. So is there one thing you'd want to say to him or the ACT Party as a whole? We'll start off a long chain, of course, because it's the first of many things.
Where do we start with this? I don't know. They'd be kind of complaining about the education review and, you know, about New Zealand history. So my thing is to them would be, well, You don't like history. What you want to deny history? What next? You're going to deny gravity? You know. That's one thing. We have put out an open letter to the immigration minister about having pathways to residency, and a call for amnesty for overstayers. I know they've been calling for better support for migrants as well. So I'd be interested to know if he would support that open letter from the Greens for pathways to residencies and amnesty for overstayers and all those sorts of things. You can print it off our website and give it to him.
Sounds like a plan.
Well, we will find out next week.
Yeah, we certainly will. And we'll let you know his answers to it in the week following. And I'm sure he'll have something to ask you as well.
No doubt.
Yeah. Green MP Tiana Tuiono, thank you so much for coming onto the show this morning.
Tēnā koe, tēnā koe. Bye.
See ya.